From the Gates of Fear by Barnaby Conrad. An excerpt from Chapter 3 on Madrid. The bull escaped at 8 o'clock in the morning. By 11 o'clock it had left a trail of one dead woman and seven wounded men, had thrown downtown Madrid into a panic, and had set the scene for the strangest bullfight ever to take place. It was January 23rd, and a herd of fighting bulls was being sent to the slaughterhouse at the edge of the city of Madrid in the Carabanchel Bajo district. Bulls that proved too big, too wide of horn, defective of vision, or otherwise unacceptable for the arena, are generally sent to the abattoir, and this was a routine shipment of 5 animals. With only occasional jabs from the poles of the herdsmen up on the high stone walls, they filed docilely enough through the dusty maze of corrals leading to the death chute. All of a sudden, the last bull, the largest of the lot, stopped. Perhaps it smelled up ahead the blood of thousands of animals that had gone before it. It snorted, and the huge tossing muscle on its back swelled. It wheeled and crashed back the way it had come. The herdsmen shouted and tried to head it off with their poles, but it snapped them like breadsticks. A steer shied into the animal's way, and the bull ripped open its abdomen and charged on. It found the gate where it had come in, barred now by 2 heavy slats. The bull didn't hesitate, and when its half-ton bulk smashed into the boards they splintered, the animal was free. And it trotted arrogantly down the cobbled street, while the people in the few shacks along the road stared in disbelief, gathered up their children frantically, and bolted their doors. But the animal left the houses alone and kept heading down the road toward the city. It met its first victim on the Segovia Bridge. The man, a clerk, was calmly riding his bicycle to work across the bridge when his horrified eyes saw a mass of greenish-black muscle with a pair of long, sharp horns coming toward him. The bull dropped his head, and his tail shot up as it charged hard. The man skidded his bicycle around and pedaled frantically in the other direction. But it was like a bad dream. Fighting bulls are as fast as racehorses for short distances, and it soon overtook him. One of the horns, as thick as a boxer's forearm, jabbed into the spokes of the rear wheel, and the man was spilled onto the ground. The bull paused to hook him once at his scrambling quarry, but luckily it was running too fast to hit the man. The bull wheeled and started to charge again, but a passing taxi attracted its attention. It swerved away from the cyclist to attack this larger and more inviting target. The amazed cabbie gunned his motor and careened up a side street, but not before the bull had clanged once into the side of the car, jarring the whole frame and actually puncturing the heavy metal in one of the doors. The animal stood watching the taxi retreat, trying to decide what to attack and where to go next. It could head back across the bridge to the open country, or it could turn left into the heart of the city. In America, when a bull or a steer escapes from the stockyards for a few hours, it makes pleasant reading in the newspaper. Mr. Commuter muses on how he'd behave if confronted with the escapee, and it's a field day for the caption writers when they publish photos of the cops making like cowboys. And it's fun because one is always on the animal's side, and he disrupts convention, the constabulary, and the aplomb of several citizens in his wild break. When a fighting bull escapes, however, you are no more on its side than you'd be for a rhino charging down you in an African field, or for a tiger loose from the zoo encircling your children. There's nothing comical about the escape of a toro bravo. As Hemingway says in Death in the Afternoon, the fighting bull is to the domestic bull as the wolf is to the dog. A domestic bull may be evil-tempered and vicious, as a dog may be mean and dangerous, but he will never have the speed, the quality of the muscle and sinew as the particular build of fighting bull, any more than a dog will have the sinews of a wolf, his cunning and width of jaw. They have been bred for centuries for one purpose, and for one purpose only: to kill men and horses. But in a regulation arena, in a controlled, organized fight, a toro bravo loose and running amok in a city is a nightmare, and now it had happened. For this bull, instead of heading back to the open country, chose to trot into the metropolis of Madrid. As it entered crowded Leguitones Street, the first thing it spotted was a young woman leaving the market with her shopping basket over her arm and a small dog on a leash. "Cuidado!" people screamed from the safety of doorways and windows. "Look out!" The woman turned as the hooves of the bull clattered on the cobblestones, and she screamed as she saw the unbelievableness of the animal charging down on her. She lunged for a lamppost, but the bull veered like a polo pony and hooked out at her. The horn pierced the wicker basket before it hit her in the abdomen, but she fell mortally wounded in the gutter. The yapping of the dog over its dying mistress seemed to annoy the bull and keep it from charging her again. It shied off down the narrow side street, and after a few blocks it came upon a deaf fruit peddler who hadn't heard the cries of warning of the other people who fled the street. The bull attacked the man from the rear as he fussed over his cart, hoisted him, screaming, on the point of one horn, and slammed him into the street, unconscious. The animal slashed into the cart and demolished it, ending up with one of the wheel hooked grotesquely on a horn. A 16-year-old messenger boy had been locked out of his house when the door was barricaded, and he frantically pounded and cried for admittance as the bull bore down on him. Possibly because of the dangling wheel, the bull didn't get the horn into the youth, but it slammed him up against the door so hard that he received a concussion and his right shoulder and arm were broken. He was dragged inside before the animal could charge again. The bull shook off the wheel finally and went on its murderous way, creating havoc wherever it went. No one knows where the police department or the Guardia Civil were during all this. Probably busy doing whatever the police anywhere seem to be doing whenever you really need them. Incredible as it seems, the animal wandered unmolested for 3 hours after its escape, when all that was needed to stop the carnage was a high-powered rifle in the right hands. By 11 o'clock, the bull had worked its bloody way downtown to the Gran Vía, Madrid's Broadway. When it suddenly appeared on the bustling avenue, panic went through the thoroughfare. The bull seemed baffled by the screaming crowds. Then it focused its attention on one group of about 25 people who were caught cowering in a cul-de-sac made by two buildings coming together at right angles. The bull was intrigued by the target, but he didn't quite know how to handle it. It stalked the whimpering people, coming within 30 feet of them, and then, standing there, pawing the cobbles and staring at them huddled together against the glass of a storefront, the bull looked bewildered. Where to charge this amorphous mass? Among the crowd who watched the bull from a safe distance was Diego Fortuna, a 33-year-old matador. When he heard the cries of "Se ha escapado un toro," and saw the animal burst out into the big street, his first thought was to do something about it. But he was on a cane. In his last fight, he had the cartilage of his right knee badly injured, and his leg still wasn't right. Besides which, fighting this enormous bull in an arena would be one thing. On these rain-wet cobblestones, it would be something else. And if he were to trip, there'd be no one to help him. Better to wait for the Guardia Civil to come with their rifles. But no Guardia Civil appeared, and the bull was edging closer to the 25 trapped people. There were several women and children in the group, which was staring horrified at the animal as it wagged its horns, already crusty with dried blood, and tried to make up its mind how to handle them. "Diego Fortuna, go home and get the estoque," he ordered, stripping off the heavy overcoat. Fortuna started limping up the street toward the bull. The crowd saw the wiry little man, and the word spread through the people huddling along the sidewalk, crouched behind the stalled streetcars and taxis, and hanging out the windows. "It's Diego Fortuna." Some didn't recognize him, for he was fairly old for a matador, and his luck the last few years hadn't been so good. Back there a few seasons he'd been atop, cutting ears on almost every corrida and alongside of such greats as Joselito and Belmonte. His real name was Diego Mascarán Torrentegui, but he had early been called Fortuna, Lucky, by everyone. And then his luck seemed to run out. It was the old story. For some reason, even though he was just as good as always with the cape and sword, the crowds began to grow tired of him. He'd been around too long. The statistics on Colsiel's Taurine encyclopedia tell the story. In 1925, Diego Fortuna fought 17 corridas. In 1926, only 6. And in 27, 3. And in the last one, in October, he had his knee injured and hadn't signed a single contract for the forthcoming season. But the crowd didn't think of him as a has-been as they watched him limp up the street behind the bull. They saw him as a savior. "Don't move!" Diego yelled at the cornered crowd as he came on steadily. "Don't talk! Don't move!" 20 feet from the bull, he draped the coat over his cane to make a bigger target, the way a muleta is spread by the sword. The bullet spun around at the sound of the man's voice, and it looked at this insignificant challenger curiously. It started to charge Diego, but at the moment the pressure of the crowd against the storefront caused the glass to shatter. The sound made the bull whirl. Before it could charge at the people, Diego sailed his hat at the bull's head. "Toro, aha!" Diego shouted, lunging forward and shaking the coat threateningly. The flash of the hat and the immediacy of the lone man made the bull turn back and charge him. Diego used all his ring knowledge to make the animal go at the coat instead of his body, and the bloody left horn skimmed by him. Diego passed the bull 4 more times, backing up after each pass as to lead the bull into the street, away from the people. But each pass was more dangerous because the animal was losing interest in the small lure, and because Diego was restricted in his movements by a cement island in the middle of the street. It was a delaying action, a fight for time. Diego's wife finally arrived and shoved her way through the crowd breathlessly. Diego withdrew from the bull quickly when he saw her, grabbed the special double-edged sword, and went back to the animal. Being a matador out in the sun with a good audience, he couldn't resist doing one graceful, dangerous passe por alto before he lined the bull up for the kill, and the crowd cheered. Then he held the coat in his left hand, focused the bull's attention on it, and as it charged at him, flung himself over the right horn cleanly and sunk the sword up to its red hilt between the withers. The bull coughed once, swayed, and then crashed over dead. The roaring crowd surged forward, cut off the ears of the animal, handed them to Diego, and paraded him around town on their shoulders for an hour. Because of the resultant publicity, Diego was contracted for 18 corridas this season, and on October 11, 1928, at an impressive ceremony, he was awarded the highest civilian honor of Spain, La Cruz a la Beneficia. The following seasons were good ones, and he was gone down in bullfighting annals as the fine matador. But no matter how magnificently he fought in the arena, he was and always will be remembered as the man who risked his life to kill the bull on the Gran Vía.